Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 92 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audio2u.com, and with me on the line once again, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Pretty good. Just getting the final pages and bits and pieces of the next issue of Total Image together.
Uh-huh.
They comes around really quickly.
It does.
Yeah, and then, of course, preparing to, well, by the time our listeners hear this, I probably will have come and gone, or gone and come back, whichever way you want to look at it, to my workshops that I'm doing in Queensland.
Oh, of course.
So yeah. I'll give you a full report of how that went next week.
Beautiful.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool.
Yeah, it is really interesting that the idea had never occurred to me, and I think I've said this before, that in regional towns, especially in a country as vast as Australia,
yeah,
it is difficult for photo files, you know, in those places to access information, to access, you know, people who will teach them hands-on right there and then, you know, it's a great way to learn.
I think that's more of it. It's not so much the information as having access to experienced professionals on a one-to-one basis.
It's true.
And I mean, with the internet, you know, the information's available, but having someone there firsthand is a big, you know, plus.
Yeah. The internet's not a great teacher. I think that's the thing.
Right.
You can read.
It's a great resource.
It's a great resource. But there's a difference between learning from reading and having someone teach you.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned a lot more from my, you know, teachers early on in my photography career than I ever did from reading.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I would recommend any one of our listeners, if there's a workshop, you know, near you, or accessible to you on a subject that interests you or, you know, into which you're going to be seriously delving, take them up on it, because you learn so much more from being there with the photographer on the spot, seeing what he's doing, you know, listening while he's speaking. There's so much there that jogs the memory next time you're out doing the same thing. You've heard his voice. You've seen the picture being taken. You have, you know, seen him demonstrate his techniques right there and then. It's just the best way to learn. And I learned, you know, so much from being at workshops and also on our annual trips away with my friend photographers, you know, some of whom, well, only a few of us are professionals, but I learn from every single one of my photographer friends, whether they're amateur or professional, every time I go away, you know. There's one fellow who's coming this year who really wants to, and that's why he's coming. He's been a friend of ours for a long time, but has only recently taken up photography. And he wants to come with us, you know, the boys' photography weekend away.
Yeah.
And that we do every year on Melbourne Cup weekend. And,
this,
you know,
is
he's
just
saying.
You and your son?
No. I every year on Melbourne Cup weekend.
Right.
I've been doing this since the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
Me and a group of friends, we hire a 12-seater van.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we get a house somewhere. We hire a house or, you know, some form of accommodation, which has gone everywhere from luxury, you know, log cabins with huge open fireplaces through to tin sheds in cow paddocks.
Right.
Doesn't really matter. We're not there long enough to really benefit from it.
Yeah.
And we spend 4 days in one area, and we just photograph the dickens out of it.
Right.
We just drive around having heaps of fun, finding landscapes, finding things of interest, and we just photograph it for 4 days, you know.
Wow.
And then at night, we fire up the laptops, we do a bit of Photoshop, have a glass of wine, have a bit of a giggle. It's all about the photography and the friendship. And
awesome.
We've been doing this every year for so many years, I can't remember.
Wow.
It really is. It's terrific. And we have such a great time. And every year I come back, you know, having learned something from even, you know, like I say, people who aren't professional, who are just, you know, good friends. And there we'll be in the same place. And this is the fascinating thing. We'll be in the same place, maybe only meters apart from one another, photographing the same landscape. Somebody will have found something completely different no one else saw.
Yeah, right.
And you walk over and you go, oh, you know, what are you looking at, mate? What are you doing? You know.
Yeah.
And you throw a few insults at him, as we Australians tend to do, and because that is Australian culture, isn't it, Bruce?
Pretty
much.
If
you want to establish a rapport, a friendship with someone, you insult them.
That's it.
Right. It's the Australian culture, you know. Oh, you're ugly. And then if they say, yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's
know.
A face only a mother could love.
That's right. I've seen, yeah, exactly. You know, seen better heads on a pimple, mate, you know. And if they respond in kind, you know you're just friends for life, you know? If you don't get yourself decked, that is. But, and they'll have seen something completely different. And, you know, you learn every time. You know, I never thought of that. Oh, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah,
a friend of mine, the first time he came, his name's Richard Bazarek, and we call him Dogface for short because, well, I'll tell you why. Oh, he loves it. You know, it's Australian, right? G'day, yeah. Dogface. How you doing, mate? The first time he was going to come away with us, he was really interested in photography. The first time he came away, just days before, you know, he was all excited. I've got my camera. I'm going to come away with you boys this year, la, la, la.
Mm.
And he was all excited. And then he's walking along the street. He leans over a fence and a dog bites him right on the face.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just jumps up. Whoop! Just bites him on the face. And so all of us have just called him Dogface ever since, you know, which is, you know, he's a good looking guy, actually, but Dogface is what has stuck. But the first time he actually did manage to come, which was the year after, he had a little Pentax camera with him, the model number of which I forget, but it was it was one of those all in one little video compact, digital, it looked like a little video camera. It's a few years old, but it had this wide angle lens on it with an extreme macro. It would just you know, focus like 1 centimeter.
Wow.
And he did these awesome pictures of like an insect on a leaf.
Yeah.
And then behind it, you know, there's this like, we went to this old abandoned church in a landscape in South Australia, and we're all photographing the church. If you go to my website and you go to my personal gallery and my website, you'll see there's a sepia toned image of this church.
Okay.
And he did this image of this we're all photographing the church, you know, with the landscape and the late afternoon light and doing all the typical stuff. Now, he's found an insect, like a bull ant, right? He's put it on a stick, and it's just walking up and down the stick, and he's got this little Pentax handheld compact-style camera, the model number of which, I say, eludes me.
Hmm.
But he's got it right up in this bull ant's face, a centimeter away. But because it's wide angle, he's got the church behind it.
Oh, wow.
So he's got this ant, you know, large as life, looking straight down the lens, and this church behind it, you know, sort of out of focus, and it's just
like
an incredible
a shot from
picture.
Some B-grade horror movie.
It was exactly, but it's just awesome. It is. Yeah, oh, I'm gonna have to see if I can maybe get hold of them and post them, because it is incredible. And I thought, you know, I would never in a million years have thought of doing that.
Yeah.
And the greatest thing is that you do learn from each other. And any of our listeners who are doing this alone, stop doing this alone, because there is so much to learn from, you know, even the most, you know, the newest member of the photography fraternity has a new vision.
Well, that's the thing. A newbie who doesn't know the rules, quote unquote,
yep,
you know, will just be completely outside the box.
Yeah, I find, yeah, exactly. You know, you do get to a stage where you establish your formula, and that's a good thing, because you turn up at any particular place and you just look at it and you know what you're going to do.
Mm.
That's sort of working to a formula, and it's a good thing. I have no problem with it, but it does actually start to give your work a certain look after a while.
Yeah.
And I try so hard to break out of that formula, and it's things like that, it's moments like that that teach me, whoa, there's something I hadn't thought of. And it really expands your vision. And, you know, because I have taken that on board, a friend photographer of mine said to me the other day, he said, Shelton, I think you're the best all-round photographer I've ever known, because you can shoot anything and make it look good. And I thought, wow, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
That's one a heck of a compliment. You know,
how much did you pay him?
$180. Yeah. But it'll have to be installments in installments, because I didn't have it on
cents.
Me. Yeah, yeah. I thought, wow, that's really saying something. And then I realized it's because two things. I've always, you know, because of going on these trips with the boys and really, you know, respecting their vision, mm-hmm. and learning from it. Another friend of mine, Scott, who comes, he's very graphically minded. You know, he sees lines and geometries that I don't see. So everything to him is geometric.
Right.
And we'll be in the same place, meters apart, and he'll see something nobody else has seen.
Yeah.
Because that's his vision.
Yeah.
So if you're not part of some photographic fraternity, then become a member of some active photography fraternity. Try saying that after a few beers. That, you know, like your local camera club, or, you know, some sort of specific club. If there's a landscape club or a portrait club, and if there's a workshop in your area, you know, that is about something that interests you, attend it. And if you want me to come and do it, all you got to do is find the right amount of people, and I'll fly over and do it. It's as simple as that. If they can do it in Rockhampton, they can do it in Yosemite or wherever it might be that, you know, you may live.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I highly recommend. I really, really do. And you're getting ready for your American trip, I presume, Bruce?
Yeah, absolutely. I've exchanged a couple more emails with Bob Fisher. What I'm going to do is the Saturday that I arrive in LA, once I've cleared the airport and picked up the hire car, I'm actually going to drive out to Bob's place at Palm Springs. And he's offered me a bed for the night, so I'm going to stay with him overnight. And hopefully that evening, I've yet to hear back from him. I've suggested that we might head out to Joshua Tree National Park and get some shots as the sun's going down in the national park. Which would be nice. Maybe try and recreate my own Joshua Tree album cover.
As long as you didn't try to recreate the music, mate, that was a great album.
Oh, wasn't it awesome?
Mm.
Awesome album.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's terrific. Now, Bob's the only one who's responded.
Yeah. But look, to be honest,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Mate, if you were in Canada, this would be a completely different situation. Because those Canadians, hey, they would just be, you know, rocking, man, to get you, you know, to welcome you. But I don't know, you know, we're gonna have to just get some more happening with our American fraternity. You know, man, I'm sorry, you guys, but you know, Bruce Williams is coming over here. It's a tour. You know? Anyway, we're going to talk about landscape photography in a minute, but...
Yeah, I was going to say that, in all honesty, I don't know how much time I will have for hooking up with other listeners anyway. I'm sort of on a fairly tight schedule while I'm there.
But surely anyway, you wouldn't mind being joined by some other tripods?
Oh, not at all.
You know, standing next to you in Yosemite? No.
Oh, absolutely not. Mm. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I could imagine that 5 a.m. in Yosemite in the middle of winter is probably not going to be the sort of thing that will entice too many people out. So
rubbish. We're photographers, Bruce. That's our time of day. Please.
Well, you absolutely. Know? That's the way I look at it. So
Look, are you going to enter this competition, Bruce, the landscape competition? Because you're off to Yosemite. I mean, it's an ideal opportunity for you.
It's an interesting thing, yeah, because there's been a bit of discussion on the Flickr group about, you know, they should make the next competition trying to identify the alias that Bruce has logged in under to submit his photos in the landscape competition.
That's right. And, you know, look, maybe you could, I don't know. I'll know they're yours.
Well, not necessarily. Why would you necessarily know if they were mine?
I'll just keep that to myself, okay. Bruce. I think, I'm only kidding, mate. No, I'm sure you'll be fine. But no, you can't enter, all right? We are doing a landscape competition. And what we're going to do is coincide a landscape competition with our 100th episode.
Wow. So we're going to run it for 8 weeks.
Yep. And the thing is, it takes a little while to do a good landscape. So I think this sort of time.
Yep, you know? That's true.
So on our 100th episode, we are going to announce the winner of our landscape competition.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, it gives me time to organize
some prizes.
A really good prize. Something in tune with better landscapes.
Maybe amongst all of the contacts that you've got, if we could organize like a major prize and maybe 3 or 4 runner-up prizes as well.
Oh, that's right, Bruce. Just make my life even harder. Yeah, sure. All right. No, okay. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Okay. I'll have to... Yeah, all right. I'll find something. But no, we'll do that. We'll do that. I just need to get this magazine out of the way, and then we'll get that up and running so I can contact all the people who owe me a few favors and cool. I've been building those up. So we'll make this happen. Don't you worry. But with landscape photography, I have stood on many beautiful vistas and watched people take pictures. I'll never forget the morning that Nathan and I stood there over the Pito Lake, you know, Bow Valley Vista, which I now have as a panorama on my website in the Rockies. And people would arrive, and there's a you know, one of those standard viewpoints that they build, you know, the little log, you know, the little wooden platform and a little log sort of fence, and you stand there and you look. And they're all getting their cameras out and just, you know, click because it's beautiful. and thinking, wow, I've got a great photograph. Nathan and I climbed over it. There was no sign saying we couldn't. And we actually set up our tripods and we got new viewpoints and we shot the thing. We waited for the moment of light. We did all that other kind of thing because we realized that a great landscape photograph has very little to do with actually a great landscape. Some of my favorite landscape photographs were actually a very average side of the road scenes. One of my favorite is actually going to be on the cover of Total Image this time. And it was just literally in Mansfield, Victoria. And anyone who's seen the movie Man from Snowy River,
right,
which was filmed in Australia about 1980, features a lot of the Snowy River, Victorian, you know, southern New
high
South
country.
Wales, high country. We went up there for one of our trips a few years ago, one of our boys away photography trips. And we're just driving along. And then by the side of the road, bang, we stopped and we took some landscapes. And it's a very average scene when you look at it. But we saw elements there that would form a great photograph. No one else would have ever stopped, you know, at that that side of the road thinking, what a great vista. Because a great landscape photograph doesn't always mean that it has to be a stunning landscape. We don't all live in areas where there are stunning landscapes. But a good landscape photographer can take almost any landscape, as it were, and turn it into a great landscape photograph. The reverse is also true, where you can be in an absolutely beautiful place, you know, like, for instance, Pitot Lake and the Bow Valley in Alberta, which, you know, you stand there and your jaw drops at the magnificence and the beauty and the pristine, you know,
the grandeur of it all.
Oh, just, you know, beautiful, especially in that crisp morning light when the sun just, you know, glistens off everything. You stand there just awestruck.
Yeah.
But you could take a very average photo of that and think that it was a great picture because you're confused with two things. The great landscape, you're confused between two things, the great landscape and the great landscape photograph. And they are two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
Often the most everyday scene can be transformed into a stunning landscape, but the photographer, he needs to understand that the camera is devoid of any feeling, any emotion. It's not connected to the experience. And, you know, you are. You have to somehow transform your feeling into what you're creating into the camera. You know, when you take that picture away and you look at it, will it, to some degree, you know, try to convey what you felt and how incredible that experience was? That really is the job of the landscape photographer, because just standing there, your normal perspective, click, what a beautiful scene, will not do it, because suddenly you've taken all this three-dimensional beauty and just thrown it very quickly into a two-dimensional, you know, frame, an image that needs to stand alone. So you need to work out your visual dynamics. The reality of the scene may be appealing, but the grandeur will be lost in the image. So the challenge for the photographer is to evoke that experience. Anyone can take a snapshot, but an artist has to interpret the scene. He has to make that scene his, because the scene, you didn't make it, you know? It's not, you can't take credit for how beautiful that thing is, so therefore could you take credit for the photograph? You know, people, it's like we've often said here at Shutter Zinc, it's like taking a picture of a sunset. You didn't make the sunset, so why are you saying it's such a great picture? But if you have executed an image from that sunset that is distinctly yours through photographic techniques, then you can say, what a great picture. It's the same with landscape photography. Now, a successful landscape does require a point of interest. And sweeping general scenes, you pick up your camera, they're just not eye-catching. They're more like snapshots. So you need a point of interest. In the case of my Bow Valley Pitot Lake panorama, it was Pitot Lake. And so, you know, that was the point of interest. But so much more is involved in what that, one of my favorite landscapes. But like I say, even something as generic as a side of the road, you know, patch of flowers, fence, and hillside, which is the landscape that I'm talking about that will be on the front cover of this issue of Total Image, is, you know, it can be enough. You can use a focal point like a lone tree in a barren sort of terrain, an outcrop of rocks, a man-made structure of some kind, a body of water in the foreground, a little group of flowers, anything can be a point of interest or maybe a point of foreground interest. Now, once you've got that chosen, you need to put it in the image that is going to make it work. And of course, we all know that the common successful formula is the golden mean, which is sort of like the rule of thirds. And we use it all the time. And you might think, well, we're getting a bit sick of that. But it very rarely fails to create a pleasing picture. Following that rule, or something like that rule, will actually, usually, as we were talking about before, it's a formula, but it works. And that's at least your first port of call. Now, the other thing that that I find interesting is that landscapes are often photographed in what we call landscape format, where your camera is just horizontal. And cameras are built to be held horizontal, because of where the shutter release button is. And most people just think, well, it's a landscape, so I'll hold my camera horizontally. And not only that, but most people, most snapshots are taken, in landscape or horizontal composition, because that's the way the camera's designed. But if you do a landscape as a vertical and you have very strong foreground interest or nice sweeping wide angle lens, you actually can create greater drama in a landscape shooting, I think, vertically more often than you can horizontally.
Yeah.
But that's just something to consider when you walk up to whatever it is that's going to be your point of interest or your point of foreground interest. Ask yourself, am I going to do this vertically? Or am I going to do this horizontally? And then whichever you decide, and you may decide to do both, work your composition accordingly. But a beautiful sweeping vertical landscape with some strong foreground interest and a nice wide lens is going to work. It will just quite simply be successful. The camera's viewpoint's essential. A lot of people, and this happens every time I stand some vista and I watch other people take pictures, they just stand at their 5 or 6 feet of average height and they just raise their camera to their eye and they go click. But have they ever thought of, elevating the camera, lowering the camera? If you've got strong foreground interest, like an outcrop of rocks or a group of natural wildflowers or whatever it might be, a fallen log, whatever it might be, have you considered maybe getting low to the landscape and shooting into that, and then, of course, across into the landscape as it fades off? You're elevating or lowering your point of view adds a dimension of interest to your image that other people just don't think about, and gives you again the opportunity to work with the landscape, make it something that maybe it wasn't, at least from the viewpoint of other people. So consider your camera's viewpoint and how you can use the foreground interest to make that really strong and really work, so that your eye is led from that on and through into every other element within the scene. A sturdy tripod, of course, we know we need that because you'll want some depth of field, and you may need to consider the odd filter, perhaps a warming filter, a polarizing filter, a grad filter. Those things all come in very, very handy. And I'll be looking, I must admit, in our landscape competition for all of the things that we've talked about. The viewpoint and perspective, foreground interest, leading lines or subliminal leading lines that lead from one aspect or one element within the frame to the other, so that the eye is led beautifully through the landscape. Images that are just pretty pictures of nice places are just not going to cut it for this competition, because anybody can do that. As I said, you just won't be able to claim that as an image, because you didn't make the scene. It had nothing to do with you. It was formed millions of years before you've turned up on this earth. And therefore, you have to make it your own by means of the photographic process. And the other thing, of course, that will matter, and we just talked about this with you and Yosemite, is what time of day you get there.
Yeah.
If you're there in the middle of the day because you had a nice sleep in, you ain't going to win. Unless, of course, the light is for some reason quite beautiful.
Yeah.
The light interestingly, I mentioned this, and yet the light that I took this landscape photograph that I'm using for the cover image was taken, fairly middle of the day, but the day had some clouds to it and the light was soft. And I used that, and I used a gray grad filter to darken and deepen the clouds. It works, but light is everything in a landscape.
Yeah.
You can actually make a beautiful landscape quite ugly in the wrong light. If you turn up at Pito Lake, Bow Valley, or any other part of the Rockies or any other grand vista in the world at the wrong time of day, it's just going to look awful, in a photograph. In reality, it's going to be beautiful. But, you battle with things like haze and contrast, the cold nature of midday light and its blue harshness. you know, you battle with those. So the successful landscape photographer needs to understand the importance of light, because it adds shape and texture, and the color of the light evokes emotion as well. So, you know, like you're going to be doing at Yosemite, Bruce, up early in the morning,
yep.
Stand there and wait for the light.
That's it.
When my good friend Ian Rolfe was recently, or about a year ago, he was in Wyoming, and he was photographing the Grand Tetons there, and he went to this spot where, you know, you just get the alpenglow on the mountains, and it was all clouded in, and he couldn't believe it. He said, this is my one day in my life I'm going to be here to photograph these rugged peaks as they, you know, as they glow in alpenglow in the early morning light, and look at all the cloud. But he set up his tripod, and he just patiently waited, and then all of a sudden, somebody blew the clouds away for 3 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And the clouds parted into and formed this frame around the mountains from his viewpoint. And he had the exposure all set up. He had his camera set up. He uses a Hasselblad X-Pan, the panorama Hasselblad.
Nice.
And he had it all set up, and he just grabbed his cable release and went bang, and he got one shot. And it is the most gorgeous shot. And if he allows me to, I'll send it to you.
Yeah. That'd
be because cool. It is just absolutely beautiful. He had faith that if he set it up, if he, like, you know, what was that movie with Kevin Costner? If you build it, they will come. If you set
is
it up.
Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams, that's the
right.
one. If you set it up, it will happen. And he just so patiently stood there and waited. And you'll be doing that at Yosemite, too.
Oh, yeah.
The landscape is just, you know, and my other good friend, Dan Paris, who does a lot of... panorama work. He was a TV star here in Australia a few years back, and now he's a photographer, and he loves it, but he does a lot of panorama work. He's of the same mind. You just set it up, and you wait for the light, and you take one picture, and it's the right picture.
Yeah.
And so that is the key. Just compose it and wait for that moment when the light hits. And Ian's image of the alpenglow through these mountains, through these clouds, is just magnificent. And it was that one moment in his life where he just, you know, thanked the powers that be and took his picture, and it works. Mm. It's those moments in your life that make photography so, so very worthwhile as a hobby.
Yeah.
So those are things that you know, every good landscape photograph really relies upon. Photographers getting into landscape photography need to get that through their head, that it's not about how beautiful the scene is. In fact, it can be quite the reverse, as we've said. It can be a very average scene, but executed in a manner that is, you know, that interprets it accurately from your perspective, can turn the most average scene into something that's quite, quite dynamic as a photograph. So in our landscape, you know, competition, I probably will be looking for this. If you've taken an average scene, an average photograph of a beautiful scene that is quite attractive, that's one thing. But photographers who send me incredible photographs of even, you know, average scenes, because I will prefer those, because they show photographic prowess. They'll show that you've really thought this through and you've interpreted something that you know, made it your own. Conversely, if you've taken some spectacular scene and used all of these elements that we've talked about in your landscape photography technique, well, then you're on a serious winner. So so there's a few things that I'll be looking for in, and you know, I'm sure you will too, when we judge this competition, Bruce, that will make our landscape photography competition one really worth talking about. So, and it won't matter what part of the world you live in. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be prone. I'm sure you won't either, Bruce, to any particular kind of scene. It can be a tropical island scene or a Rocky Mountain scene, anything.
There is one thing I would ask what your thoughts are right now.
Yeah.
Do we restrict the competition to only standard aspect ratio, or are we going to accept panoramas as well?
I don't think we can restrict it.
Okay.
I mean, you can crop. You can, you know, crop to panorama, shoot with panorama. I don't really have a problem with that.
Fair
enough. What do you think?
No, I'm cool with that.
Mm.
I just thought we should at least make it clear from the outset.
Mm. I won't be seeing. I mean, to me, there's no advantage in either. An aspect ratio is, especially now in digital photography, is yours to create.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a problem with that. So, no, it won't matter to me. In fact, it's interesting that some of the most, you know, wonderful panorama images I've ever seen have been vertical. You know, Fuji.
Yep. Oh,
Fuji.
Yeah.
Fuji 6x17 cameras, you know, turned vertically.
Wow.
Wow, because now that is a sweeping foreground. You know what I mean? I saw Dan do one once. We were down a place called Wonthaggi here in Victoria. Yep. And we're standing on top of an old bridge there. Photographers always, you know, stop the photograph. We were actually on top of the bridge photographing down onto the shore where the river leads to the ocean. And Dan just tilted his camera vertical and took a shot from the bridge down, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And because, again, we always tend to think of landscapes as being horizontal when really, a vertical can be even more dynamic. Landscape photography is a very, very rewarding endeavor, but it can also be very, very disappointing because there you are in this beautiful spot, but you've failed to transfer the, you know, nature, the beauty, the grandeur of what you've seen in its three-dimensional reality into something that is, you know, grand in a two-dimensional image. So the key to making it successful is recognizing that you're the artist and that whatever has been created prior to your arrival has little to do with your photograph. You have to make that image your own and not just copy the scene as you, you know, happen upon it, as it were. So that is really what we're going to be looking for in this competition, and we're going to get a prize that will make your endeavors worthwhile.
Yep.
So get out and photograph those landscapes. Of course, if you already photographed a landscape, we'll accept anything. I don't care how old it is. It just has to be good. But now that we've talked about this, you've maybe got some new things to think about when you that you might want to take into this competition if indeed you hadn't considered them before. So get out and take some landscape photographs that will knock our socks off. And we'll put them up on the website, and no doubt they'll find themselves on our Flickr site as well.
Yep, for sure. So,
which is doing nicely, slowly growing, and it's nice to get all of that interaction. I apologize, I haven't been as active on it the last week or so, but I've just been very, very busy, but I'll get back there, gang. And unless you've got anything to talk about, I just wanted to mention something about Shutters Inc., Bruce. And that is Richard has asked us to talk about the inaugural Melbourne meetup.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So I'd be all for that. I'll put my thoughts on the website, on the Flickr site, as to when that's possible for me and what we can do. But yeah, that would be terrific. So calling all Victorian residents. So what Richard says, we need to discuss when the inaugural Shutters Inc. meet will be. For those who've never attended a meet, they normally consist of a photo walk and then a gathering at an agreed location where the partaking of refreshing beverages and chatting amongst us can take place. I like your idea, Richard. Like your idea. I presume a refreshing beverage would be a cold beer. But, you know, I'll only have one because two, and you'll find me giving away my camera gear and dancing on the table. So we've got a few options there. If you are a Victorian resident or an Australian resident, you want to come and have a bit of fun. So that would be you, Richard, and of course, you know, all, well,
Zeeung,
yeah. Graham, if you're out there, man, we'd love you and Margaret to come.
Anyone who can make it.
Anyone, and if you're in Sydney like you are, Bruce, hey, you know, we've got Tiger Airlines starting up soon, so you'll be able to get an airline for $14, an airfare for $14.50. So, you know, Graham, I notice you're there already. So, you know, yep, let's make this happen. I'll find a date when I can come. And you know, yeah, that would be really terrific. I would really like that. So let's see if we can make this happen. Bruce, you have to come.
Sure. All right. Well, I'll do my best.
What we'll do is we'll take your airfare out of the coffers of Shutters Inc. Because we've got about $400,000 in there now, haven't we, in the coffers of Shutters Inc.? Something. So we should start spending that, really. You know, I mean, it's just sitting there gathering interest, you know. So,
I wish.
Yeah. that'd be good to do. So, Richard, thanks for a great idea. Really terrific. And thank you again for all your emails and all the interaction. Let's keep that up because it's, you know, it really is wonderful to have all this happening. I'm really pleased to be a part of it, honored to be a part of it, in fact. I'm sure you feel the same, Bruce.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terrific.
There's one thing I would say, and you sort of thrown this in the other direction. I would have said that a lot of us have landscapes that we are happy with, but I would prefer to see people go out and shoot stuff specifically.
Oh, so would I. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, not that we, you know, not that we're ever going to know whether you shot it this week or 10 years ago. But I just think it's, you know, it's part of the learning process that you take on board what Shelton's shared with us, and then, you know, go out and use that information.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it would be just it's in your own interests to possibly go out and in the light of, you know, anything new that you, I mean, you, there may be no revelations in this podcast for you, but if there have been, you know, and that's fine if there aren't, if there's nothing new for you, we can't expect to sort of, you know, be all things to all people every week.
No.
But, you know, if there's something that you hadn't considered, you know, take it out and use it. I don't consider myself a landscape photographer as such.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, Matt says I'm one of the best all-rounders he knows, and that's a hell of a compliment. But I mean, there are photographers who just, like Ian, I'll be standing next to him in the same landscape, and he'll just wipe the floor with me.
Yeah,
you know, we'll have a tripod. Our tripods will almost be, you know, knocking legs, but his image will just go zing, and mine will go, well, hello, you know. And that's what it, you know, so I don't consider myself, you know, a landscape photographer as such, but I have shot the odd mean landscape.
Yeah.
And I know what formulas I work by. I know what I need to do when I arrive upon a scene. A lot of you guys will leave me for dead. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you can come up with, what you have come up with. And preferably, like you say, Bruce, I think if you can get out and shoot something new, that would be in your own best interest to do.
You've got 2 months up your sleeve. So.
Yep, that's for sure.
I've got to say, I have one pet hate.
Yeah.
Crooked horizons. So, if you don't have access to Photoshop or PaintShop Pro, people, find someone who does.
If you're going to make it a crooked landscape, make it really, really crooked.
Really crooked, yeah.
Yeah, because if you're slightly off on that horizon, it just doesn't work.
Oh,
yeah,
that grates on me big time.
Maybe in one of our.
But you know what? It is so hard. Like I, you know, as manic as I am about, you know, level horizons, even when I shoot, you know, I will be really painstaking as I look through the viewfinder, think, is that horizon straight in the viewfinder? And even when I've been that anal about it, I'll still get home and open it up in Photoshop and go, you know what, that's half a degree out. It drives me nuts. It really does.
All right. So, okay. And then, Audi gets with this perspective tool and this crop tool. And, you know, you can actually straighten a landscape very easily in the Photoshop using the rotation
tool. I use the ruler.
Tool. Yeah. The ruler. Yeah. The ruler tool. The ruler is probably. And then you go arbitrary or.
The one.
Yep. And, fixes your horizon. It's the best way to do it.
Don't say you weren't warned.
Okay. So, if you're going to do a crooked horizon, make it seriously and deliberately crooked.
More than 10 degrees.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking like more than 30, but whatever it's going to be, make sure that we understand that you did this deliberately, you know? Because otherwise it can be a little off-putting, but yep. Fair enough. And of course, yes, we do live in times when, you know, I mean, once upon a time, you had to pull your transparency out of the mount and slightly shift it, you know, and if you had enough room on the edge, you know, to sort of get away with it, you could. But now that we have digital, of course, you can just very quickly fix that horizon. But as we've said here often on Shutter Zinc, get it right in the camera, which is why I always have my grid permanently set in my D200's viewfinder. I get my line straight, you know, if I'm shooting a landscape. And if not, then I make sure it's deliberately on an angle. So, yeah, all right. Well, if you know, one of our judges is Bruce Williams, folks. And so if your landscape is slightly crooked, you're out. You're gone. See you. Bye.
Player one, game over.
That's it. You're gone.
Alrighty. Cool.
All right, well, I'll be getting back on show. There's a few questions here I haven't been a part of. There's Lightroom 1.2, and I've just...
Oh, is there?
Yeah, there's a new discussion on Lightroom 1.2 that you can download on Flickr, on our Shutter Zinc site. Now, I have just been the... I have just received my CS3 production pack.
Yes.
So I got all of that in the mail. I've got CS3 now, the production premium pack, and Lightroom, so I'm going to be installing all of that stuff. Next week. I haven't got time this week to do it and look at it, but I'll be becoming very much a part of the Lightroom discussion very soon, because I'll be able to speak from experience. I was talking to Greg Bayer last night, who came over for a coffee. He's a friend and fellow photographer, and he just loves Lightroom. He says the things that you can do with a raw image in that program defy belief. They beggar belief.
Yeah.
You know, the clarity, the sharpness, the highlight and shadow detail that you can reclaim in a raw image are just unbelievable. And I haven't really just simply... These days, I think I wonder whether I'm becoming less of a photographer and more of a teacher and writer. The thing I'm doing the least of these days, and anyone will notice from having seen, if they've been to my blog and been to my Flickr site, the thing I'm doing the least of these days is actually taking pictures. I've got to change that because everybody wants me to talk about it and write about it. So I'm getting less and less time to actually get out and do the damn thing.
Yeah, right.
So I'm looking forward to getting out with a camera and just shooting something. Man, I feel like those you know those two vultures in that cartoon. You know, patience my ass. I just want to kill something. I'm of the same mind. You know, patience. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I just want to shoot something. I've got to get out with a camera and take some pictures.
Yeah.
So I'll get a chance to take some raws, throw them into Lightroom, and get into part of this discussion. And of course, the new Photoshop CS3 has some things that I'm really looking forward to working
now,
with.
This will benefit me not one little bit, but as some of you would already know, I'm an author with lynda.com, mainly for the audio software stuff. But I was checking out lynda.com's online training library only yesterday, and I noticed that Chris Orwig, who is an American photographer and an author for lynda.com, who's already done a few Photoshop titles for lynda.com, has done an Adobe Photoshop Lightroom title. So if you haven't been to lynda.com, or if you have and you've let your subscription lapse, definitely go and check this out, because he goes into every aspect of Lightroom. And
his name again?
Chris Orwig, O-R-W-I-G. Takes some fascinating images.
Right.
But, you know, very knowledgeable in the way the software works. And I was watching some of the movies in this particular title that he's done on Lightroom, and yeah, I learned some tricks from it that I didn't know, and yeah, I mean, that was to be expected. There's lots about it that I don't know, but definitely worth checking out. I mean, I think it costs you about $25 US a month to join up to the online training library at Lynda, and that $25 a month allows you to view any of the 300-odd titles that they've got in their online training library.
Wow.
And each title will have, you know, like 50 movies in it, sort of thing, so... definitely worth checking out, and and you can buy annual subscriptions, which make it cheaper, and so on and so forth. Right. So that's lynda.com.
Right. Speaking of which, of course, we do thank you for your responses regarding our idea on our video podcast or our video tutorial podcast. It's still in the back of my mind, and forgive us for not pursuing it these last couple of weeks as a subject. It's just that I have been so busy. Busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad, I've been, and I've just, you know, haven't had the chance to talk about it or consider it, but we will be talking about it some more, Bruce and I.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you want to be part of this discussion as to how it could be done or what you'd want to see done, we can pursue this. If it really interests you, we need to justify it our end from a time perspective. I'm more than happy to, you know, to give up this time to do the podcast, which we record here in Melbourne on Thursday mornings. And I'm honored to do that. But of course, the videos will take a lot more time and effort. So we need to just work that through a little bit with you all. As much as we'd love to do it, you know, where we have time constraints, being the famed celebrities that we are. And everybody wanting a piece of us. You know, you find it hard too, don't you, Bruce? You can hardly walk down the street.
It's just ridiculous.
Ridiculous. please just bear with us. But we do thank you for your interaction on that. And if you've got more comments, we'd really love to hear.
Absolutely.
All right, matey. Thank you for that.
My pleasure, as always.
Yep. And as usual, if you want to email us, me, it's studio@audiotu.com. And for Shelton, it is shelton@audiotu.com.
That's me.
Beautiful. All right, mate.
Okay.
Talk with you next week.
You bet, mate. Thanks. See you all soon.
See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.